Tonight, we're going to give you more reasons to be crying out to God. We're going to give you some particulars and some things that we need to ponder as we look into what God has done in our nation in the last 10 years in particular, the last five, and then the last week. We're going to look at it pretty in depth and what maybe to expect, but most of all, why we should be crying out right now, louder than we were last week, if you can even imagine. This morning, we're going to cry out again. We're just going to simply look at why we, exactly how we need to cry out to the Lord. What does it look like? Because even Gary said it this morning, he's at the right hand of the Father, right? He's not here. What does it mean to cry out to him, and what is he going to do when we do? Anybody want to turn the clocks back a week? We turned the clocks back at the first part of November, and we went back an hour. That wasn't even near enough. But, you know, think about this. If we were to go back to the Russian collusion, let's go back that far. Let's listen to the news rant on Trump about Russia or Stormy Daniels or some of these other things. Wouldn't you like just to turn the clock back to that? I mean, we didn't like that. We cried, we hated it, and all those kinds of things. But now, the comparison isn't even close, is it? It's not close. If you love Jesus, you will be burdened. You will be burdened. It is part of the Christian life. If you love him, he shares with you. He talks about the sufferings. That's another step of the burden and the ramifications of sin and all those kinds of things. We can talk about suffering. That's one thing. But let's just talk about the burden. That, remember, we've been talking about Habakkuk had, that he had the burden. If you love God, you will be burdened by what you're seeing. You're going to be heavy, laden, because of sin. It's all because of sin. But please hear me. Please hear Habakkuk. Please hear God. Who gives you that burden? If you're not his, you don't have one. You're dancing in the streets. If you are his, you are burdened. Because, folks, he just took the pro-life team off the stage. He took the church team off the stage. If you don't believe me, come tonight. We'll talk about it. God has made us see, like Habakkuk, he's making us see things in the last 10 years that we would rather not see. Is that true or not? And we say, yep. And it continues to get worse. Lord, can't you give us a little break? Lord, you're idly watching these traitors, Habakkuk said. You idly stand by, but you make me see. Yes, because you're mine. So if you're burdened by sin, if you're burdened by your own sin first, which you should be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and it burdens you, there's a sorrow that leads to repentance. And so we have this sorrow, and we run to God, and I'm sorry, because it starts with me first. And then it starts with the church as a whole. We're sorry for our sin. That's where Daniel started. When he was going to see, when he was about to see God do something dramatic, the 70 years of the exile was coming to an end. You know what Daniel did? Cried out to the Lord and said, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for the sins of my fathers. Let's start there. We've talked about that several weeks ago. I hope that you've done that and are doing that. Do the next thing. You're convicted, do the next thing. I'm burdened for my sin. I'm burdened for the sins of my sons and my daughters and my granddaughters and my wives and my husbands. Your husbands. I'm burdened for them. That's a good thing. Lot was burdened. The righteous man that Peter talks about in 2 Peter. Lot was looking around and he was burdened by sin. Because Peter calls him righteous Lot. By that time, God got his attention. He has our attention. He has mine. I am deeply burdened. You heard Kathy's heart. I've heard many, many, many other people's heart. You look on social media. I haven't heard all your heart. But if you're of the Lord, you are burdened by what is happening. 70 million plus kids are dead. Lies. LGBT. A transgender has an elected seat now. Hard drugs are legal in Oregon. We know why they're doing it. They're trying to help, but they don't know how to help because they're not listening to the Bible. The Bible says to quarantine the sick, not quarantine the nation. And the Wuhan Chinese plague, we're quarantining everybody. That's not biblical because we're not wise. We're not looking to God for our wisdom and help. Now, how do we know we're saved? How do you know? It's very simple. Sometimes what happens is the devil comes to you or your flesh comes to you. You look at that person in the mirror, you're about to shave his face or do whatever the ladies do to their hair or whatever. Put your makeup on and you go, I don't know about you. Yeah, I don't know, man. You're a tough nut. You're like that woman at the well. Lord, you can't help me. You don't have a bucket. Let's be clear about what the Bible says. I'm just going to give you very, very simple terms here. How do you know you're saved? Number one, you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins. That is the key. You believe. Believe and you will be saved. Okay? You believe the word, because that's where it comes from. You believe the word. And so you're going through, it's funny because, you know, you go through the word and you come to something, you go, well, I believe Jesus Christ died and I believe Jesus was on the cross and I believe Israel, it was a nation, but I don't believe that. Okay, time out. Better take that up with the Lord. Because it's the same word that says that and the same word that says Jesus died on the cross. It's the same word. Okay, Lord, let me rephrase. I don't understand that, but I believe it. Okay? So you believe Jesus Christ. You believe the word. You don't understand it, but you believe it. Number two, your life has changed. Now, be careful here, because this does not give you salvation, okay? But a changed life shows that God is working in your heart, working in your soul, and you're working it out through your hands and your eyes and your lips, okay? So there's a change, and it could be slower than we like. Mine is slower, much, much slower, okay? I'm just going to throw that out there right now. It is way, way slow. Sanctification is slow, but there's been change. Number three, the Spirit in Romans 8 testifies with ours. And that's part of that believing of the word. The Holy Spirit brings it and you believe and you say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for letting me. And he acknowledges that with your spirit, okay? And that's that feeling, there's no real feeling there. It's the faith of the Spirit helping you understand. Number four, Jesus says we're going to suffer. We are going to suffer. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If you're living out your faith and you're suffering in your body and in your with sin and all these other things, you're suffering, that's a part of being a Christian. Number five, he disciplines you. He disciplines you like a military leader would. He disciplines you, he trains you up. It's harsh sometimes. And he chastises you. Sometimes he spanks you. We don't want spankings. So when he disciplines you, pay attention, trust and obey, and then maybe we can stay away from the spanking sometimes, but sometimes he spanks us, okay? Because he loves us. Hebrews chapter 12. He loves us, so he disciplines us and chastises us. But the number sixth one, and there's more, but the number sixth one I want to talk about this morning is the burden. You know you are saved by the burden that you carry for your sins, that you want to get your kids and your grandkids to heaven, your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad, for our nation. We love this nation. We want the best for her. You are burdened, and that is proof. So sometimes when we sulk, when we lament, and we're going to go through Lamentations, I've decided, on Sunday night starting next week. Because Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote after Jerusalem fell. And we'll probably know more next week, we will see. But we lament, Lord, you can't not be doing this. You cannot be allowing this to happen. Jeremiah 20:18. Why did I come out of the womb to see only trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame? Lamentations 1:13. He sent fire from on high. He made it seep into my bones. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. I want you to hear what he said. He spread a net. He caught me and he burdened me with his problems. God, you're burdening me with your problems. Yes. Write it down. Make it simple. Take it to everybody you know, Habakkuk says. Or he said to Habakkuk. You spread a net for me. And you turned me back. He made me desolate, faint all day long. I have no strength. Revelation 3:7, to the angel of the church Philadelphia, write, these are the words of the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. When he opens, no one can, what door he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed you. I have placed you. I have put you there. I have placed you before an open door, which no one can shut. For you have a little strength. Oh, thank you, Jesus. However, now I have this burden. He has placed us there. I don't have any strength. But he's placed us there. So who do I go to? Who do I blame for this? President Trump, you didn't do a good enough job. Must not a good enough job. Vice President Pence, you didn't cry out to the Lord hard enough. Mike Pompeo, you didn't work hard enough on you did on Sundays. He does great Bible teaching on Sundays. Wonderful Christian people. And the Lord fired them. Millions, and I can tell you this, millions of people, overseas as well, has prayed for America. Because on behalf of the world, they are better off. Period. Arrogant? Call me arrogant, I don't care. They're better off if we are strong and if we're righteous. If we stop abortions and LGBT and pack the courts with, you know, that's a bad word now, but we pack the courts with conservatives. I want to go that route. I don't want to pack the court. I want to put righteous people on the court. And all these things, we are a stronger nation. If we help Israel, I'm telling you folks, this is coming a center. It's going to be the center thing of the end times. Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats judgment is about how they treated Israel, period. Period. And it's based on the promise given to Abraham. I will curse those who curse you, and I will bless those who bless you. Okay, Lord. America is doing that, Lord. America is doing that. Then why is God backing up? More on that tonight. Why would he do this? Does it make any sense to you? Did it make any sense to Habakkuk? Zero. None. Who are we going to blame? Satan? Boy, you are bad. You are a bad, bad dude. He's still God's devil. Biden? We're going to blame him? You're going to blame the people that voted for Biden? I had a conversation with a young person this morning. We're upset and all that stuff. But who do you expect sinners to vote for? Well, they may vote for Trump, but it's not going to be based on him being a Christian or either of his a Christian cabinet or any of that stuff. They're going to have other reasons. Are we going to blame the people? To some extent. We're going to blame the pulpits. Who do we blame? Folks, we blame God. Hear me now. Job said, "Then understand that it is God who has wronged me and drawn his net around me." Now, listen to what I'm saying. Job is half right. Job is half right, and this is his problem all the way through the book of Job. He is half right. Yes, it is God who did it. It is God, just like Jeremiah, who drew the net and threw the net. It is God who told Habakkuk, the Babylonians are coming with two kinds of nets, and they're going to throw them around Israel. Okay, so it's up to you, the God, but don't ever say he wronged me. Job is wrong in saying that God wronged him. He's only half right. God is throwing the net. Do I stand up here at the pulpit and say, don't worry, be happy during these times? I mean, you know, I can take somebody into the office, and when somebody has, you know, has lost a child or has got COVID or whatever, they're not coming in the office, but you know what I'm saying? These things kind of happen to the family. Do you take them in there and you say, you know, we're, you know, but to the nation right now and to the church? What do we say to the church? Don't worry, be happy? No. Folks, at the end of Habakkuk, he's rejoicing. We're not happy. But remember chapter 3 of Habakkuk. It starts with to the tune of Shigonoth. That's a tune. And at the last line of Habakkuk is with stringed instruments. The prayer of Habakkuk. I love it. It's way beyond me. That's why I love it. It's way beyond my ability. Is it yours? Everything's fine. People are dying. All this stuff is going on and we can just dance and be happy? No, but we can dance and rejoice. We can dance and sing and rejoice, and we should be. I said weeks ago, and I've been saying it to everybody who would hear, on November 3rd, okay, November 6th or 7th or whatever, we're going to know the mind of God. Okay, well, maybe it's mid-November. We're going to know the mind of God. Don't you want to know the mind of God? Okay, Lord, well, you're not sovereign enough, so I don't care about your opinion. I want to know what's going on in Michigan's legislature right now, their courts. No, I don't. I want to know the mind of God, because we know what's happening when that happens. More tonight. He has not wronged us, and we are not happy. Do we rebuke the demons? That's been done. Do you know how many people rebuked the demons and stood up and had prophecies and Trump's going to win and everything's going to be hunky-dory and on and on and on and on? Listen, we should be resisting the devil. Well, we better be careful about what we think we know. What are you doing, Lord? I'm going to resist Satan and his demons, but I'm not going to prophesy against them. I'm going to speak forth your word when I see what you do. Habakkuk said, I will stand my watch. And that's what we're doing, because we're witnesses. We're not prophets. We're foretelling the word of God. But we are not prophets. We are witnesses. and we have watchmen at the door. I'm one of them. I want to be one of them. I want to know what God is doing. And I want to know it to the nth degree. And people go, you don't need to know that stuff. Well, then why did it, in Mark, the book of Mark, he says everybody has their gift and the watchman stands at the door. Just he runs out, the watchman, you know. And Ezekiel's a watchman and others. You're all watchmen. I just want to be a watchman. I want to know what he's doing. Have you thought about the California Senate right now? Have you thought about the Georgia Senate? More tonight, folks. When Biden talks about God, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this. He makes me angry. Trump, I don't know about sometimes. He named the name of Jesus Christ the other day, and I was thrilled. But Biden makes me angry. You know why? Because he picked the most pro-left person on the planet. And his team are all those pro things that we've talked about already. And that stuff makes me angry. Period. Do I rebuke him? God, what are you doing? Number three, am I supposed to tell you what will happen? Folks, I didn't know a week ago. I told a couple people in confidence, I think Trump's going to win. I think he's going to win. Have you seen the rallies? Have you seen the number of people watching his events online? Have you seen this and seen that and seen this and seen that? And I was chicken to get up here and say Trump's going to win, okay? But I was not chicken to tell some of my friends. I just think it's going to win. And the Lord's saying, you better stand up and watch your post because you don't know what you're talking about. Now, I hope Trump still wins. But can you imagine the chaos that's going to happen if he does? They didn't burn down Washington, D.C. last night. They would. I'm sorry, that wasn't a prophecy. We just know the left. This has only begun. God has tied our hands. We are shackled by a heavy burden. Are you shackled? Because I am. Lord, I'm not going to say you're idly looking by and you don't know what you're doing, but boy, I am. I have no clue. Somewhat. Ecclesiastes 4. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of the oppressed. And they had no one to comfort them on the side of their oppressors. There was power, and there was no one to comfort them. Job again, men cry out under great oppression. They plead for relief from the arm of the mighty. I want to read something. Psalm 39. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. This is King David. My heart became hot within me, and I mused. I thought about it. The fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting they are, and that I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Selah. Meditate on that. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing lies, nothing they are in the turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather it. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it.